ميراج النبي ميراج النبي special things dear beloved prophet ميراج النبي ميراج النبي the leader إمام الأنبياء was he.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has said that a person who sends 50 times durood or salutations or salawat upon me I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, once again we welcome you into this beautiful silsila, Blessings of Mi'raj of Madani channel. You are participating in the second episode or in the second silsila. We will discuss in this session, in this silsila, the ayat. The ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the mi'raj of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is ayat number 1 of Surah Asra, Surah Bani Israel. And ayat begins with word Subhan. Subhan alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam minal masjidil harami ilal masjidil aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. Sadaqallahul azim. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has started this verse with the word Subhan. And in Arabic language, word Subhan is used for amazement. When something wonderful, unbelievable, amazing is being said, then the word Subhan is used. So this means that the waqi'ah of Mi'raj, the incident of ascension of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is something which is amazing, which is wonderful. And why it should not be amazing, why it should not be wonderful? Because this is a miracle, not just a miracle, but biggest miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This was beyond man's comprehension and understanding. And that is the reason that disbelievers, they denied, because it did not make sense to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the ayat with the word Subhan to indicate that Waqi'ah Mi'raj, the story of Mi'raj, the incident of Mi'raj is wonderful, is amazing. But keep in mind that Zat, that being who's all powerful, who's Allah, who has created everything, He has taken His bondsman on a tour by night. So since He is so powerful, there should not be difficulty to accept and to believe. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not go on his own. What the ayat says, Subhanalladhi, purified is he who, whose who is Almighty Allah azza wa jal, who took his bondsman on a tour by night. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, So the one who believes in the power of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, he should not have an issue, he should not have a problem, he should not have difficulty to believe and to accept and to acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful and he has taken his beloved servant, his beloved bondsman on this wonderful journey which is beyond comprehension, beyond understanding.
And Muslim, even logically, the Quranic verse starting off with praises, Subhanalladhi, and the word taking, this does not befit a dream or a spiritual journey, but something which is physical as well, with mind, body and soul.
Yes, of course, the word abd is used in the verse. Before abd is the verse, the part of the verse is Alladhi Asra. Here, the name is not mentioned. Purified is the one who took his bondsman. And who is he? He is Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And see, this part is enough proof to answer this question which you have raised. So let me give you a simple example. Just to have a common understanding. If in a gathering, a small child, maybe 6 years old or 7 years old, he says that I went to this country, I went to this continent, I went to Africa, I went to America, yes. I went to Germany, I went here, I went there. And people might start wondering, how is this possible for this little child to go here and to go there? Yes. Does he have the capacity, capability, finances to undertake such journey? Can he look after himself? But if he says, my father took me, and they all know that his father is a rich man, he has the resources, he has the money, he can do that, he can take his family anywhere he wants. Should there be a problem for anyone to believe in his claim?
Absolutely not.
There should not be. Because now you're not looking at the child, you're looking at his father who has the capacity to do that. There's no comparison between this story and with Subhanalladhi Asra bi Abdihi.
Just for understanding purposes.
Just to understand, because we humans, we understand things through examples. Yes. So therefore we are forced to give example. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I took my beloved, then there should not be a problem for anyone to believe. He has the power and he can create those circumstances. If people have an issue, there's no oxygen when you go upwards, and how was he breathing, and you know, there's sun and there's this and there's fire and the skies are very solid and nobody can pass through, etc., etc. I mean, all that is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the nature of those things. As we discussed in one of our silsilas, that the nature of fire is to burn. When Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam came into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that nature back from the fire. So the fire became peaceful and cool upon Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the word Alladhi Asra is enough proof to say that this journey was with the body and the soul. It was a physical journey.
In a wakeful state.
Yes, in a wakeful state. And then again, the word which is used in Quran Kareem, bi'abdihi.
But Muslim, here, this word abd. Now Muslim had mentioned abd referring to this physical journey of mind, body and soul. Are there any other examples in the glorious Quran that refer to this word abd in the meaning of body and soul?
Yes, there are other ayat and verses where the word abd is mentioned. And the meaning is body and the soul, not just the soul.
Okay.
actually in Quran Kareem, in Ahadith, and even in Muhawirat, idioms of Arabic language, when the word abd is used, it is used in the meaning of soul and the body together, not just the soul. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, فَأَسْرِ بِعِبَادِي لَيْلَى, that O Musa, take my bondsmen, my servants during the night. That means Bani Israel, take them out during the night while Fir'aun and his people are sleeping, so they can cross the river and they are unharmed. Now this does not mean that O Musa, take their souls and go. This is very clearly understood that we are talking about here person and personality.
Yes.
Here we are talking about physical beings, body and soul together.
Yes.
And there's another ayat in Quran Kareem. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Did you not see that person who stops the abd muqaddas, who stops Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he performs salat? So here the word abd, which means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it does not mean the soul alone.
Okay.
It means the body and the soul together.
Okay.
And then at another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ, when Allah's pure slave stood in such condition that he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the word abd means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name has been mentioned as Abdullah. And it does not mean the soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means the soul and the body of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all these places in Quran Kareem which I have quoted, the word abd means body and the soul together, not just the soul.
It's interesting to note that Mufti Sahib gave the example of Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam and crossing of that sea. Today is the era of the information boom, where information is available at the touch of the fingertips, on the internet, via television, media, all these sources. And scientists or people who are skeptics, they always want to give a scientific explanation. Like some scientists today, they actually say that God controls the world through physics. And they give this example of Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, that when he was crossing that place, they actually crossed at a shallow point, the temperature was right, the winds were right, so this was possible. But we as Muslims, whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla and the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam tells us, informs us and commands us, we believe in that. Another point, Mufti Sahib, on this word.
Now see, if the scientists believe this way, then ask any scientist in the world, how is this possible for a person to go and live in the fire? And ulama ikram have said that he stayed in the fire, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam stayed in the fire for 7 days. Some have said even more than that. I mean, according to physics, how is this possible? Were those right circumstances to stay and live at that place? No, they were not. The fire was still burning.
And a huge fire at that
time. A huge fire. It's not that when he came in, the fire was killed. The fire was there, the flames were still there, it was still burning. Just that its effect for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was nullified.
Its quality in nature had changed.
Has changed. So everything is in the hand, in the powerful hand of Almighty Allah.
Subhanallah.
Yes, you were saying something else.
According to Arabic grammar, this word abd, or Arabic syntax, this word abd is mudaf, and the he domir, the pronoun which is used, abdi he, is mudaf ilay. Now, is there any difference, this mudaf which is related to that mudaf ilay, to that pronoun, is there any difference between this word abd and abdi he?
Yes, ulama ikram have said that this word abd is related or mudaf to he. Now, he is a pronoun which is referring to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallahi asra bi'abdihi.
Yes.
And this izafat, or this relationship tells us that this bondsman is very special. He is just not an abd. Everybody else is abd. We all are abd. We are ibad. But he is not just abd. He is abduhu. He is. And there is a rule.
Yes.
When muzaf is common and mudaf ilayh is proper, and then the mudaf also becomes proper because it is now relating to something which is khas, which is exclusive. So when you say abd, that is common, could be any person,
common noun,
common noun, could be any abd, any slave, any servant, any person, any human. But when you say abduhu, that means we are not talking about an exclusive person. We are not talking about very special person who is chosen by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the beloved of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is the difference.
Okay.
And it is said, there's a beautiful couplet, abd digar, abduhu cheeze digar, u sarapa intazar, e muntazar. That abd is something else and abduhu is something else. Abd is the one who waits. Who waits when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the opportunity, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him. And abduhu is the one who is being waited.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. So there's a huge difference that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel Amin alayhi salam and waits for his beloved to come and have his vision and be blessed with the royat of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that is the difference between abd and abduhu.
Subhanallah. One more question on this word abd. Now okay, perhaps one can understand and accept that here abd referring to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in the form of body, in the form of soul, mind, body and soul. Does this not mean that, so he is Bashar, he is a human being like us? Why do some people believe, why is the belief there that he is actually Nur, he is light? The verse did not say bi Nurihi, it said bi Abdihi, meaning he is Bashar, he is a human being.
Well, that is a huge misconception that some people have by the word of abd, and they say, yes, I've heard this misconception and this objection that they say if he is Noor, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have said Subhanalladhi asra bi noorihi.
Yes.
No, but he said Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi, and abd is a physical person, physical body.
Yes.
Now this is actually a huge misunderstanding. People think that being abd and being light are two opposite realities. That is not true. I mean, opposite reality of light is darkness. Opposite reality of light is not Bashar. Opposite reality of light is not human being. Opposite reality of light is not abd. So when they are not opposite, they can be together. A person can be light and he can be abd. As in Quran Kareem, the word abd is used for angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, bal ibadum mukramoon, that angels, they are honored slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are honorable bondsmen of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And everyone accepts and everyone is unanimous that angels are light, they are created from light. The definition of angel is huwa jismun nuriyun yatashakkalu bi ashkalin mukhtalifatin la yuzakkaru wa la yuannathu. Angel is a body of light, not a body of sand. Angel is a body of light. They have different shapes and they're not masculine, they're not feminine.
Okay.
So in Quran Kareem, angels are called Ibad and they are Noor. No doubt about it. Everyone is unanimous. There's no dispute. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Abd, this is not contrary at all to his reality, which is lightful reality, which is Noor.
So Mustafa, another question about this word Abd. That why did not Allah Azza wa Jal refer to him as Rasul, bi Rasulihi, or any other word? Because elsewhere in the glorious Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by different titles, different beautiful titles. Why not here as maybe bi Rasulihi?
Well, there are different positions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he comes from the Creator towards the creation,
okay,
then he's called Rasul. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ. Surely Rasul has come to you. And now it is the occasion where he is going from the creation towards the Creator.
Allah. Subhanallah.
Therefore he is addressed as Abd, because this is not the place to express his Risalat. This is not the time to express his Risalat. This is the time to express his Abdiyat, his being Abd and slave of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, bondsman of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Now according to the situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed him with the accurate and suitable word which suited that time and that occasion and that surrounding and that feeling which was created.
Allah,
so therefore it is said, bi abdihi, not bi rasulihi.
Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal, the most wise, has indeed placed every single word, even every single letter of the Quran in its appropriate and best context.
Look at the start of the ayat.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Because he knows, he has the knowledge of everything.
Subhanallah.
He knew how the kuffar will react. He knew how some misguided people will form their opinions.
Okay.
He knows that there'll be many others on the basis of sometimes certain knowledgeable facts, certain sciences, they will deny and they'll put up argument. Some people would be totally stubborn and they'll say, no, we don't accept. Others will put up arguments. They will make it sound very reasonable, that it can't happen, it's not possible. As you see some people, they claim to be Muslims, they claim to be scholars, and they quote verses of Quran and they read ahadith, and they come up and they say, this was a dream, this did not happen. So to answer all those, whether they were kuffar or so-called Muslims, or those who were confused or they misunderstood the message of Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers everyone so beautifully. Subhan
Allah.
You know, he is free from every defect. He is free from every weakness, from every shortcoming. There is nothing that he cannot do. So when he is so powerful, so if he has taken his bondsman on a tour by night or in this journey, then what is the problem? So as you said, that the words are so beautifully chosen.
Subhanallah.
Because these words are perfect and they come from perfect being.
Allah.
Human beings, they make mistakes, they have shortcomings, they can overlook things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from that. So therefore, every word that you will see in Quran Kareem, that is befitting so beautifully at that place according to that occasion. Look at Surah At-Tawbah. does not start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Ji.
Every other surah begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Yes, yes.
Because azab of kuffar is mentioned over and over severely in that surah.
Allah.
Azab of munafiqeen is mentioned. So now, this is not an occasion to talk about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim indicates the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this surah should not start. See, that is the nature of our religion.
Subhanallah.
Like when you slaughter an animal, you don't say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You say Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. So Rahman and Rahim, the most merciful. But that most merciful requires that you should not take life.
Yes.
You should not hurt. But here you're slaughtering, you're taking life.
Subhanallah.
So therefore it's not the manifestation of mercy, of rahmah of Almighty Allah. Therefore a suitable word according to that occasion are suggested and are advised.
Whichever facet, whichever angle we look, subhanAllah, our deen of Islam is so beautiful and so easy for human beings to follow. Subhanallah.
Yes, wonderful. And then we see the word laylan is used. The meaning of laylan is night. Although asra also means visit during the night, taking someone on a visit during the night.
Yes.
So the meaning of night is covered in the word asra. Why there is need to repeat that word? So ulama ikram have said that actually laylan again is used for emphasis, so there must not be any confusion whether it was during the day or during the night.
Subhanallah.
And secondly, laylan stands as nakra, as common noun.
Yes.
And when it stands as common noun, this does not cover the whole night. Any small part of night, if it is covered, laylan would be justifiable to be used at that place.
Okay.
So this indicates that the Mi'raj did not take place in the whole night.
Subhanallah.
Not from the beginning of the night to the end of the night. This means that Mi'raj took place in a short period of the night.
Allah.
Some ulama ikram have said that it happened within 3 seconds.
Allah.
Some said it happened in 4 seconds.
Subhanallah.
And Imam Subki alayhi rahmah says that this tour, this sair happened in one lahza, that is one moment. And this is not something that doesn't make sense to a believer. It perfectly makes sense to a believer.
Allah.
Because it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might have narrowed the time at one place and extended the time at another place.
Subhanallah.
And at one place it could be a moment. That is the reason, because it was a moment that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, the bed was still warm.
Allah.
And the hook on the door was still moving.
Subhanallah.
Because it took so little time.
Allah.
So laylan clearly indicates upon that beautiful miracle. It actually puts emphasis on that miracle, that this journey took place in a very short time.
Subhanallah. As Mufti Sahib had said, that for a believer, for a Muslim, this is not hard to believe. It's not something which is incomprehensible, because we believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla is all powerful. Therefore everything is possible, is in His control.
Yes,
but for somebody who doesn't believe, an antagonist or somebody who is skeptical, his whole life will be thinking about this and pondering and wondering, and still he would not reach a conclusion.
Yeah, that is true actually. And this is what iman requires, that one should believe completely
Subhanallah.
In the might, in the power of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir.
Allah.
Allah is powerful over every possible thing.
Subhanallah.
And this is possible. Miracles are possible. And unnatural, unusual, supernatural things happening, that is possible. So if so many other things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do, and people don't have a problem to accept and believe in that, why should there be a problem to accept and believe this beautiful miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is known as Mi'raj al-Nabi, or ascension of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people need to come out of that confusion. Accept the mainstream path of Muslims.
Yes.
Accept the mainstream thinking of the Muslims and the beliefs of the Muslims.
I think here, Mujtasab, you can also understand how important it is to get our or receive our knowledge from the right sources, rather from those who are really ignorant and who misunderstand the glorious Quran. We will also get misunderstood. We will also misunderstand if we follow those kind of people.
Yes, of course, that is the big problem. Not just with the Muslims, with the non-Muslims as well.
Ji.
That they learn things about Islam from not reliable sources.
Ji.
They learn things about Islam from media,
Ji.
From newspapers, from magazines, or from internet, certain websites. They might be, you know, claiming that they belong to Muslims, but in reality they do not belong to Muslims.
Not very truthful.
Not very truthful, and they do not give the true message of Islam. So they need to connect with the correct people, with true scholars, with reliable, authentic scholars of Quran and Hadith, who are pious, who are practical, who are on the path of mainstream Muslims, who can be linked with a century before, or 2 centuries before, or 5 centuries before, or 10 centuries before. They have that flow, same teachings, same understandings, no deviation. These are the right people.
Absolutely.
You cannot judge. I mean, if a person commits a crime who belongs to another religion, then they criticize the person, they don't criticize that religion to which he belongs to.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Definitely.
But if a Muslim is bad one, if he commits the crime, then who they criticize? They criticize the religion, they criticize Islam. They don't criticize that individual. So how unfair the world has become, how unjust the world has become, that if a person belonging to a religion other than Islam, if he commits a crime, then that individual is a criminal, not the religion.
Yes.
And if a person belonging to Islam commits a crime, then whole Islam is criminal. So these type of misunderstandings, so non-Muslims are also misunderstanding because they're not taking their informations about Islam from the right source. And there are some ignorant Muslims who also take stories from here and there, from unreliable source, and they are misguided and they are misled.
So are we saying that we should judge Islam by its beautiful teachings, its peaceful teachings, rather than looking at the behavior and the actions of many ignorant Muslims?
Yes, of course, that is the basic and fundamental principle, to know and assess and judge a system or a philosophy or a religion, that you see the teachings.
Yes.
People in every religion are not practical. So as you will find people in other religions, some are committed, some are not.
Yes.
Some are practicing, some are not practicing.
Yes.
People are people. So similarly, you will find people in Islam those who are Muslim, some are committed, some are not. Some are practical, some are not practical. We cannot judge the religion by the behavior and the actions of the people.
Absolutely.
So this is something that people must take note of. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, even though bad people are in every religion, but you will find most Muslims, they are conscious about religion.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
They bond themselves with Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal.
Alhamdulillah.
They are charitable.
Ji.
They do lots of humanitarian work.
Ji. Ji.
They help people.
Ji.
They help widows. So those beauties are there. You see them on Hajj. You see them
Ji. Ji.
In the month of Ramadan. You see the mosques are filled up. They recite Quran.
Ji.
So the Muslims are more religious compared to any other religious people.
Ji.
But still, we do not give guarantee of every individual.
Yes, absolutely.
There are good and bad people
Ji.
Everywhere. And then, in the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Minal Masjid al-Haram," that the journey took place from Masjid al-Haram.
But here, Mustad, this seems to be a contradiction, actually, because we know that from a hadith that actually the journey started from the house of a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ummi Hani radiyallahu ta'ala anha. This is where the actual journey took place. So how do we understand this? Is this not a contradiction between Quran, the verse of the Quran and the hadith?
Actually, Masjid al-Haram means here Makkatul Mukarrama. So whether it is, and there are narrations as well, different narrations. In some narrations, it is also said that although he was resting, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was resting at the house of his cousin, Hazrat Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha, Jibreel Ameen alayhi salam woke him up and brought him in Masjid al-Haram. But the real journey started from Masjid al-Haram.
Okay.
And there's other understanding as well, that from Masjid al-Haram means whole Makkatul Mu'azzama.
Okay.
Makkatul Mukarrama.
So the
Haram is included in that. So wherever it began, it doesn't matter, that is covered in this discussion.
Okay.
And this explanation is given in Hashiya Jalalain.
Okay.
Then, Ilal Masjid al-Aqsa. To Masjid al-Aqsa. And Masjid al-Aqsa is a famous mosque in Bayt al-Maqdis. Bayt al-Maqdis is the area where the mosque is, also called in English Jerusalem.
Okay. Jerusalem in Palestine?
In Palestine.
Okay.
That's where the mosque is. And this is called Masjid al-Aqsa, a far mosque.
Okay.
A mosque at a distance.
Musab, is this the masjid that has the gold dome? Is this Masjid al-Aqsa?
No. Actually, that gold dome is Dome of the Rock.
Okay.
That is the place where there was a small hill, and the Buraq, which was the horse, brought from Jannat. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ride that Buraq, where it was tied up, and then from there it was brought on that hill.
Ji.
And from that hill,
Ji.
That Buraq flew upwards.
Okay.
So to remember that beautiful memory
Ji.
Of Miraj and that beautiful journey towards heaven, the Ashqi Rasul, a true lover of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi ta'ala
alayhi,
built that Dome of the Rock.
Okay. Subhanallah. So there is a difference between Dome of the Rock and Masjid al-Aqsa.
Yes, Masjid al-Aqsa is separate.
Jee.
Masjid Aqsa does not have big minarat or big domes.
Okay.
But it's a huge masjid.
Ji.
It's a very big masjid. I think almost 10,000 people
Allah.
Can be accommodated and
Ji.
Can perform salat
Ji. Subhanallah.
In Masjid Al-Aqsa.
Mashallah. In the ayah, it says, Ilal Masjid Al-Aqsa. Now here, if we look at Arabic grammar, Nahu, syntax, Arabic syntax, we learn that this word, Ila, the meaning or definition of it is Ila li intiha il ghayati, that it shows or it denotes the end of a journey, the end of somebody's destination. Therefore, here we can understand that the journey was from Masjid al-Aqsa, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. That we can understand, the physical journey. But there's no suggestion that there was a journey to the heavens and beyond.
Actually, there's a wisdom why the mention of Masjid al-Aqsa is made. It's because Kuffar Makkah, they visited Masjid al-Aqsa.
Okay.
And they knew how Masjid al-Aqsa looks like.
Ji.
And they knew that this journey is far, this masjid is far.
Ji, ji.
It takes 1 month
Allah.
To travel to reach Masjid al-Aqsa. And Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is claiming that he went within a moment and visited, and he came back and even went beyond that.
Ji.
So the mentioning of Masjid al-Aqsa
Ji.
Was for kuffar to believe that the message which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving is true, because they have seen that masjid already before, they knew how it looks like, so they quickly came up to ask questions.
Allah.
And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered and described the whole masjid in front of kuffar, they were dead silent. And they had to believe, and many of them then became Muslims. So it was for this reason. But also, we can see from another angle that as it is end of a journey, it shows end of a journey yes. because of ilah, you're right.
Yes.
Ilah is used li intiha al ghayati.
Ji.
But there is verse after that, li nuriyahu min ayatina, to show him our signs. And to show him our signs starts after Masjid al-Aqsa. So Masjid al-Aqsa, as it is end of the journey, it is beginning of journey as well. It is beginning of journey towards yes. heaven.
So end of the earthly journey and beginning of the heavenly journey.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. MashaAllah. Very nicely put. So this does not actually in any way suggest
Ji-ji.
That the journey was only from Masjid al from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and not beyond that.
Subhanallah.
It is actually for other reasons.
Ji.
And then we see in the ayat, Allazi barakna hawlahu.
Ji.
The one who put barakah around it, around this masjid.
Barakah are blessings?
Blessings.
But what kind of blessings around Masjid al-Aqsa?
There are two types of blessings which are in and around Masjid al-Aqsa. One types of blessing is worldly, and the other type of blessing is heavenly.
Okay.
Or ukhravi. Worldly blessings, that land is very good for agriculture,
Ji.
For fruits, for dates, for figs, for olives,
Ji.
You name it, grapes, all these types of fruits
Ji.
Grow in abundance.
Subhanallah.
In fact, even nowadays, if you go to Masjid al-Aqsa,
Ji.
In its yard, there are hundreds of olive trees,
Ji.
And they are full with fruits, they look so beautiful.
Allah.
So there's a lot of risk, there are a lot of canals,
Ji.
There are a lot of rivers flow
Ji.
In that beautiful land.
Mufti Saab is describing as if Mufti Saab has been there.
Alhamdulillah, I was blessed to be there.
Alhamdulillah.
And I spent some good time.
Alhamdulillah.
The other barakat is that this place is a center of wahi.
Allah Akbar.
From Musa alayhi salam till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this place was Qibla of all the Prophets alayhi wa sallam. And there are many Anbiya alayhi wa sallam buried there. They are madfoon, their graves, blessed graves are there at that place. So that is the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allazi barakna hawlahu, that in its surroundings, or whose surroundings are blessed, because of two types of bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the worldly, other one is the spiritual or heavenly.
To understand this place, Al-Aqsa, Baitul Maqdis, Jerusalem in Palestine, it holds a very significant status in the Abrahamic religions, we can say.
Yes, of course, because Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, his center was that place. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, his center was that place. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his Qibla was, first Qibla was that place. And secondly, his journey, you know, started from Makkatul Mukarramah and then to Baitul Maqdis. Then he earned that beautiful title of Imamul Anbiya at that place by being physical Imam of all the Prophets alayhim as-salam. So that big conference of Anbiya, they actually read khutbas, they gave speeches praising Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a conference of 124,000 more or less Prophets alayhim as-salam. They were accommodated there, they all sat down there.
Mufti Saab, this place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Imam of all Anbiya alayhim as-salam, so what salah was it at that time?
It was nafli salah. It was not any obligatory salah.
Allah, subhanallah.
It was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that blessings and opportunity that every Nabi attained and received, and then to make a mark that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Imam, he is the leader.
Subhanallah.
Then we see in this ayah kareema, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so we show him our signs. It means that we showed the signs of our kudrat, our power, wonderful things to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here the hikmat, the wisdom of this sayr, this tour is being expressed.
Allah.
So this tour is not to enjoy the journey or to relieve the stress, as some people undertake journeys, they're stressful, so they go on a tour. No, this was on for a bigger mission, so to show Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the signs of Qudra. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw heavens, he saw angels, he saw Sidratul Muntaha, he saw Baitul Ma'mur, he saw Jannat, Jahannam, etc. So it means that in this ayah kareema, Isra and Mi'raj both are mentioned. Rather I will say that in this part of the verse, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, Isra and the Mi'raj both are mentioned, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown signs from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa, and he was shown signs from Masjidul Aqsa and towards the heavens. So as we discussed in the previous silsila, that from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa, his journey is called Isra, and from Masjidul Aqsa towards heaven, his journey is called Mi'raj. So both are included in this verse. Then at the end of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. Surely he is all hearing and He's all seeing.
Subhanallah.
It means that those who are not accepting this miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they're plotting, or they're scheming against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they want to develop negative opinion and thinking of people about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, be careful that Allah, the one who took His bondsman on a journey, He hears everything and He sees everything. So be careful before you plot and before you plan. It's actually a warning that He will then punish you, and then there will be nobody to give you relief or to safeguard you. So rather accept the fact which my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is delivering to you. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers of Madani channel, you have seen and heard this beautiful silsila, this beautiful program in regard to Mi'raj of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Join us tomorrow again. We will come back with more and beautiful and wonderful information. Keep watching Madani channel. Pass the word around. Tell everyone. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will be rewarded, and that would be your contribution towards your families, towards your relatives, towards your friends, towards your associates. So don't stop the word of goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the right path, on the path of Salat and Sunnah, and on the path of love of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah. Please don't go away. As we promised you that every night we will have few ashar from Qasida Mi'rajiya, and we will explain you the meaning of those couplets and ashar in English language. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, now our Islamic brother will recite a sher, and we will give you explanation of that sher.
وہ سرور کشور رسالت جو عرش پر جلوہ گر ہوئے تھے, نئے نرالے طرف کے سامان عرب کے مہمان کے لیے تھے. دلہن کی خوشبو سے مست کپڑے نسیم گستاخ آنچلوں سے, دلہن کی خوشبو سے مست کپڑے نسیم گستاخ آنچلوں سے, غلاف مشکی جوڑ رہا تھا غزال نافے بسا رہے تھے, غلاف مشکی جوڑ رہا تھا غزال نافے بسا رہے تھے.
In this couplet, Allah Hazrat رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ has brought beautiful thoughts. He called Kaaba Muazzama a dulhan, a bride. He says that the perfumeful clothes or covers of dulhan, which is Kaaba Muazzama, the Bade Naseem, morning breeze, morning air, very cleverly and very playfully is stealing the perfume from the ghilaf of Kaaba, from the cover of Kaaba, or from the clothes of Kaaba. And this beautiful, full of perfume, ghilaf and the cover of Kaaba is in ecstasy and it's rocking. And musk deer are filling their naval bags with the musk in this night.
Pahariyon ka woh husn-e-tazeen وہ اونچی چوٹی وہ ناز و تنگی پہاڑیوں کا وہ حسن تزئین وہ اونچی چوٹی وہ ناز و تنگی سبا سے سبزہ میں لہریں آتی دوپٹے دھانی چنے ہوئے تھے سبا سے سبزہ میں لہریں آتی دوپٹے دھانی چنے ہوئے تھے
سبحان اللہ. Now listen the story of mountains. The awesomeness of those high hills. Wow, what a beauty that the morning breeze is giving waves and shake to the greeneries of those high mountains. And the scene was looking such as if that greenery, which is a bit yellowish, has got two veils upon itself.
Naha ke nehro ne wo chamakdar libas aave rawa ka pehna naha ke nehro ne wo chamakdar لباس آبے روا کا پہنا کہ موجے چھڑیاں تھی دھار لچکا ہوا بے تابا کے تھل تکے تھے کہ موجے چھڑیاں تھی دھار لچکا ہوا بے تابا کے تھل تکے تھے.
Now listen the story of rivers. Ala Hazrat رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, how beautiful puts it in this couplet. He says that rivers had a shower, and now they're wearing the dress or the garments of flowing water. And the waves of the water are as if beautiful, colorful, shining lace on the cloth. And the flow of the water seems or looks like a thin line on the beautiful cloth. And there are bubbles on the water which are showing beautiful colors, and they are shining. And like beautiful, colorful flowers, they are showing off every way, through which or by which the beauty of canals and the beauty of rivers is increased. And this whole arrangement is being made for the Mi'raj of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Purana purdaag mal ka jata utha diya farsh chandni ka purana purdaag mal ka jata utha diya farsh chandni ka hujum tare nigah se koso qadam qadam farsh badal the hujum tare nigah se koso qadam qadam farsh badal the.
Wow, how beautifully Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala nu explains. He says, when someone great comes as a guest, then the old carpets are removed and new are spread out. On the night of Mi'raj, this arrangement was made, that the old carpet, which had a lot of dirt and dust and dots, and what is that? That is the moon of the 27th night, which doesn't give light. It is darkness. So Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala says that that was the carpet which had the darkness. It was removed, and the angels and the hoors of Jannah and Ridwan, they spread their eyes, and angels spread their wings, and that was the carpet which was put and presented for the arrival of this great guest, beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is Siraj al-Munira. So he doesn't require the moonlight from the moon or sunlight from the sun. So how beautifully Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala explains and describes that situation, that old carpet that is now the moonlight of the moon has been removed. It's dark now. It's not there. But new arrangement is made, new carpets are put, and that is the sights and the eyes of angels and Hur and Ghilman and the wings of the angels.
غبار بن کر نثار جائیں کہاں اب اس راہ گزر کو پائیں غبار بن کر نثار جائیں کہاں اب اس راہ گزر کو پائیں ہمارے دل حوریوں کی آنکھیں فرشتوں کے پر جہاں بچھے تھے ہمارے دل حوریوں کی آنکھیں فرشتوں کے پر جہاں بچھے تھے
We sacrifice on the path of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that path through which our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to go to Miraj and presented himself in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. On that path, our hearts were spread out, not just our hearts, but the hearts of the maidens of Jannat, the Hoors of Jannat, and their eyes were spread out and the wings of angels were spread out, and that was the path which was specially arranged for our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Khuda hi de sabr jaan pur gham dikhaun kyun kar tujhe wo alam khuda hi de sabr jaan دکھاؤں کیوں کر تجھے وہ عالم جب ان کو جھرمٹ میں لے کے قدسی جنا کا دولہا بنا رہے تھے جب ان کو جھرمٹ میں لے کے قدسی جنا کا دولہا بنا رہے تھے
اعلی حضرت رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ addresses his own life and he says, oh my life, who is broken, restless, and in pain and sorrow because of the separation of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give you the wealth of sabr and patience. How can I show you that scene and that happenings? When on the night of Miraj, the life of whole universe, the life of kainat, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amongst the angels, and how angels were crowded around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were decorating him and beautifying him and preparing him as a bridegroom of Jannat. Oh my weak soul, oh my life, you are unable to see that. You cannot even hear. How can you see those scenes and those beautiful happenings? Subhanallah.
Utaar kar unke rukh ka sadqa, ye noor ka pat raha tha bada. اتار کر ان کے رخ کا صدقہ یہ نور کا بٹ رہا تھا بڑا کہ چاند سورج مچل مچل کر جبی کی خیرات مانگتے تھے کہ چاند سورج مچل مچل کر جبی کی خیرات مانگتے تھے
It seemed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered all the lights of this universe that if you want to come down, if you want to gather at one place, then come and gather in the beautiful face of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his face is the manba and the markaz and the center of every light, and the light is distributing from his nuraniyat and from his lightful face. And Ala Hazrat says that on that night, sun and moon had their own style, even though they are full of light. But in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were restlessly begging, and they were saying, "Ya Rasulullah, give us some light. Ya Rasulullah, give us some light."
وہی تو اب تک چھلک رہا ہے, وہی تو جو بن ٹپک رہا ہے, وہی تو اب تک چھلک رہا ہے, وہی تو جو بن ٹپک رہا ہے. نہانے میں جو گرا تھا پانی کٹورے تاروں نے بھر لیے تھے, نہانے میں جو گرا تھا پانی کٹورے تاروں نے بھر لیے تھے.
واو, اٹس اے ونڈرفل وے ٹو ایکسپریس اینڈ بیوٹیفائی and glorify the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that on the night of Miraj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ghusl, he had a bath. Question arises, where that water went which he used to bath? And then he says that this light that you see in the stars, actually what happened, these stars filled the bowls of their eyes, took that water. So that shine that you see in the night in the stars is actually that water which was left over from the ghusl of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is something beautiful to see, beautiful to ponder upon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this immense love of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he has granted to Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a great revivalist, a great lover and ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah send his countless blessings upon his grave and raise his station. Ameen bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله.